Since during involution, the word of the Lord, or the divine law, penetrating through all the spheres, created the heavens and the earth, and thereby incorporated itself within every particle of matter composing them, so during evolution must it evolve back to its source, lifting up or redeeming all through which it has manifested, thus creating a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The creative word manifests through nature as tone, color, form, and number, just as a written word is composed of numbers, letters, which are symbols, syllables, and the meaning expressed. Hence, every tone in nature, be it song of bird, roar of beast, or thunder of heaven, be it tinkle of fountain, surge of ocean, or rustle of leafy boughs, is an expression of the word. And not a note in nature could be left out, and the creative word be complete. Could man respond to and manifest his true vibration, his keynote, in the creative word with the single-mindedness of nature, all would be peace, harmony, and love. Man alone strikes a discordant note, not only in himself, but also in the noises of his creations, the factory whistles, the street noises, the vacuum cleaners, etc. And the effect of this inharmony is impressed upon all creation, so that thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Could man respond to and manifest his true vibration, his keynote, all would be peace, harmony, and love. 1914. We're talking about the same thing. The level of consciousness to receive the energies. We've talked all week about the energy of color. It is not a flat surface which is presented to us. Color is alive. And I don't see Faith, but Faith last night said
here.
Oh, well, you changed your clothes. I didn't
realize. See what happens?
Color is dominating.
All that red, I just didn't see. Faith said, all this time, the rainbow has been a symbol. And all of a sudden, the rainbow is alive. The colors in the rainbow all have energy. They all work through us constantly. The energy that we sense through color, the energy that we sense through tones, you've seen a violin string vibrate. That's what we're talking about, this vibration which sets up an energy. In color, it's a much higher vibration. It is measurable, but it is nonetheless, it's a vibration that is high enough that we can't see. It exists in us. It exists all out in the universe. You've had intuitions. You've felt that something was right. You've sensed that this avenue would be better than that. There are energies working in all different directions to help us. We're not in this whole thing alone. It's kind of nice to know once in a while. We also have an energy which is around us. That's an energy field, if you will. Get in a crowded or not so crowded elevator. Maybe there are only four or five people and you feel, oh, get out of my space. Mm-hmm. You have a space around you. We're going to feel it around one another this morning. But it just simply is there. It's a given. It's not magical, it's not deeply occult and black magic and so forth. It is a physical fact. We, in our eyesight, are not tuned to seeing it. We do not have the fine attunement. It's the same as the dog whistle. The dog whistle is way out of range. It's there, but we are not able to hear it. We react to the aura. Talking to Dorothy Bennett, Dorothy has what's called chromesthesia. Every sound is color to her. Every letter of the alphabet is color. She didn't realize that this was something different until she was 9. Every word has a color to it. So everything, the vibration of the very tonalities are seen by her in color. It's a fascinating situation. Well, very natural. It's just a different way of seeing. The aura has several different layers. I'm not going to go through all of the different layers. If you have questions, you can ask me throughout the day. But there are different layers, and there is generally, very close to the body, there is what appears to be a very dark area. And this is the etheric aura. It's the one that's closest to you. And it is an energy that generally is seen in a darker or non-color. Nothing really is black. But then where you are in your energies, and I'll back up a minute for those of you who haven't been in on the other sessions. I've talked about putting on a green shirt in the morning and saying, wow, I don't want to wear that today. Taking it off, putting it in the closet, and pulling out something that feels good. There's energy in the color, and there's energy in you. You will seek to match or elevate your own energy by what you pick out. And I have talked about my blind friend who picks out colors by feeling them in the closet. And then will feel, well, this goes with this and puts them together. The energy of the color. You have energy within you, and you emit in that energy that you emit in color. We live in color and surrounded by it. We wear it. We have our homes in color. All nature is color, hence the living rainbow. But around you, the aura, is an energy that is around you, between you and the atmosphere. It's energy both coming in and going out. It's a very natural flow of energy that doesn't just have to hit your skin and go in. It's an avenue of, and it translates the energy. And anybody who can see auras will see quite a bit about you. They can see if you have a stomach ache, your aura, that energy is being pulled in to your stomach, and your aura will actually have a dip in it, because the energy is going to the humanness instead of being out here. And because we can't see auras, we think, oh, no, wait a minute, you know. Come on already. You're talking about something that doesn't exist because I can't see it. And it's got to be way out there and kind of flaky. Fact is, it is measurable. They do photograph them with special film that will pick up these particular energies. And, of course, we see them in all of the pictures of any, I did bring in, so I did want to talk a little about primaries. In Emily's book, I mean, there are three auras right there. That's called the Trinity, and look at the colors, they're primary colors in an icon. But there, we take for granted the auras that we see around the head of Christ and around the disciples, prophets, and visionaries of the Old Testament. They all have auras. They were attuned in that time to see auras. They're slightly heightened level of consciousness where that became part of their everyday perception, and with very little effort, auras could be seen. They're part of the person. That isn't true now. Doesn't mean that knowing about auras, I go around and I look at auras. But I can sense the color in a person, and you can too. You can sense whether somebody's upset, can't you, sometimes? You may not know the person well, but you say, ah, that person isn't having a good day. You probably are seeing the aura. You're seeing these energies, but not with your eyes. Close your eyes so that you may see. Mm-hmm. close your ears that you may hear. That is, there is a lot to that. The aura, what we'll do this morning, I have a nifty little experiment here, highly scientific, which I will talk about in a minute. This was kind of fun to put together, where we'll see what happens with the energy from your hands, what happens with it. It will turn that drum. It's not the heat, because you're not close enough for the heat. But it turns the drum. It's energy. Last year, Dale Jumpgard, I don't know if any of you have been in on any of his sessions, he had a session in this classroom with about as many people as are here. We cleared all the chairs out, and he had everybody get up and put their hands out in front of them and start moving. And he'd say, faster, faster. Here were 30 or 40 people running around this room. Nobody bumped into anybody else. But when you put your hands down at your side, you couldn't move around. The energy, the field. You would sense the field of somebody else and move aside. Nobody bumped into anybody else. Moving very fast. He had us running around this room. And this was kind of interesting, but it's the same sort of test as this. In the dark, do any of you go around this way? I spend a lot of time in the dark. I'm too lazy to turn the lights on. So I'll, at night when I get up or whatever, I will sense with my hands, and I can sense where something is. Now, my hands, perhaps with the work I do, I am a therapist, hands-on therapist in rehabilitation. So just as Anne's hands, being blind, were more sensitive, some hands are more sensitive than others. But there is a lot out there, and there is a lot that you are seeing that you don't realize you're seeing. And to know a little bit about it tells you something, a little added something about yourself and about other people. It's part of the Lord's universe for us to work through us, not something out there that's evil. If it's used to manipulate other people, and I can look at an aura and say, aha, and I can use this fact, then I'm manipulating it, and it's not a good thing. But if I accept this as something very natural and something to learn about, I read the story about the spider web, how we all live. This is Lauren Isley's story about living. The spider lives and knows only this tiny universe. Man lives the same way. He knows his universe. He can go way out in the galaxies, and he can go way into the phagocytes and so forth. But he's got to let go of the material stuff. And that's what is being said in this book. Let's let go of the material stuff and accept the fact that even if it doesn't meet one of our five senses, it still exists. And I'm going to bring it within the five senses this morning so that you will feel it and you will see it, both. And sound is coming into this. I don't have sound pulled into all of this yet, but we have the same facility with sound. So what I'd like you to do, and this is a big room, and you may need to spread out. I want you to work in pairs. I'm going to have one person sitting and one person behind you. And then we're going to switch. And I'm going to have you feel the energy fields around one another. So, find yourself a partner. One person sitting, one person standing. Okay, I'm going to show you what to do as if I am sitting with someone in front of me. I want you to, first of all, just take in a slow, deep breath. And as you exhale, exhale out through your hands. Feel that energy is going out through your hands. Inhale again. And just kind of relax. Okay. Now what I'd like you to do is bring your hands from out about, 18 inches or so. Begin to bring them in toward the head. And if you kind of use this motion, you can feel your hands, I'm feeling right about here. You'll feel a density, a little bit thicker air as you come in. And you may feel what seems like a little bit of heat as you're coming in toward the head. And bring your hands down a little bit, just feel it, go in and out. The person sitting may feel your hands coming toward you. I apparently have a very hot right hand. Look out for the right hand. But as you come in, just sense. See if there are different densities there. There will be different areas. You'll feel it down along the shoulders. But once you get to the clothing, that's color, isn't it? It has its own energy, too. So the purest aura is felt around the front of the face, around the side. And as you're sitting there, you might close your eyes. It's springy. It is, isn't it? As you're sitting there, close your eyes and see if you can feel hands close to you. Feel the energy. It's sort of like heat, but not quite. It's a different feeling, isn't it?
As close to touch, you don't touch.
You don't touch. Once you touch, you're into the body itself. And then generally it goes out to 12 to 18 inches.
Do you think the aura is Holy Spirit?
Well, the aura is an energy. It allows us to receive. Energies that are much farther out. It does, of course, receive. When you receive universal energy, you are receiving the energy, the spiritual energy as well, because you're touching out into the cosmos. That's what we're doing. But it is not the Holy Spirit. It is the energy working through us, which is of, as we've been talking this week, the Trinity. Okay, switch places. Recall the experience you had in whatever place you were prior, and now kind of as you close your eyes and you're either sitting there or you're feeling the aura, sense it from the other position that you just had and see if you can allow your sensing of this to increase even more. Okay, and just start in, start way out and come in, and you will then sense where the density is, where it begins. And those of you sitting, see if you can feel what's happening. Sometimes you get kind of a tingling sensation. That's energy. That is energy. And move your hands back and forth through the different densities. See if you can feel a difference in the densities. And bring your hands around in front of the face. Of course, there you get the breathing. You'll feel the breathing. It's interesting, isn't it? It's simply, it is there. It is a fact, physical fact. And my hope is to take the magic and the mystique out of it, because it's very natural. Okay, come on back and sit down.
It was interesting. You could feel when you got close. It's interesting.
I have more feeling though.
As you're sitting, you mean?
No, I'm standing.
All right, your hands, well, to answer that, bring your hands toward each other. About 4 inches apart. Now move them up and down. And feel energy between them? Kind of bounce, bounce, bounce. You will have one hand which will receive, and as you work between your two hands, one hand will seem to be sending out energy, and the other hand seems to be receiving energy. You have one hand that will give out, and the other hand will receive in, generally.
It's not a huge difference, and it feels more like AC rather than DC.
Yeah.
There's always got to be one in the
crack. Yeah. Yes, there does, always. But this, as you work with that, this would be the reason for the difference. Would be the difference in the path of energy. It passes through our bodies. It comes in, and of course, it comes in through the aura all around our bodies. And passes out through all of our aura also. Yes?
Is that why sometimes you just feel a hostility when you meet some people and other people you just feel drawn to?
A lot of it can be in matching energies. And if somebody is into a very strong lower vibration energy, that is going to come forth to you in reds. And you don't see the reds, but when you see red, you know, you've heard the expression. But this, that is an energy. And it takes on a vibration. And you react to that vibration. And either your energy says, yeah, I can handle this, or forget it. So your whole being is reacting to another whole being. And then you may be drawn to somebody. You may be on the same, what, wavelength? Aha.
Wavelength.
All these terms, yes. All these terms have meaning. We just thought they appeared out of the sky, yes.
Occasionally on Sundays mornings, you know, when the preacher is preaching, or even, you know, sometimes I see like a light around someone's head.
All right, let me explain that. Yes, if you look intently at someone and you're watching a priest or a preacher or anybody that you're talking to, your rods and cones in your eye will adjust. And when that person moves, you will see what looks like a yellow close image of the person. That is something perceptual due to the fact that you've been looking at a person for a long time. That is not an aura. That is a perceptual movement of the eyes. And you will see it around everything. If you stare at a rock and then move your head, or not even move your head, as those rods and cones adjust, there will be a yellow around that form. So that's very important to bring up. And that the aura is something that is not that bright, necessarily. And it will have, the yellow you're talking about will be a sharply defined yellow. The aura is going to be, as energy would, moving. And I think about animals sensing a storm, you know, I say, oh boy. There is a lot of energy. You know, it's our cosmos is energy. The animals are not laden down by humanness. You know, we work to see things only one way. It's been hard work over the eons to have ourselves narrow down, all the way down to what we see and hear and so forth. But animals can sense, and they have energy areas around them too, auras, that are sensitive to what's going on out beyond them. And apparently they sense this way. It may not be, you know, there are a lot of things in the atmosphere that happen when a storm is coming. We have to see it or hear it. But they can feel it. So can we. But we're not geared that way, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of a book, and I can't remember the author. It's a woman who's a contemporary writer who's done this about the Klan and the mammoth hunters, mm-hmm. and the, what's her name?
Jean,
starts with an A. And it's pure fiction, but it's Ice Age people, and it's fascinating, and anthropologically it makes sense. And these characters in there have these sensations. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're picking up all these vibrations. It's Ice Age people.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That would be
the Klan and the mammoth hunters, Clan of the Cave Bear, suggesting that people at that time in Ice Age may have functioned very much by these kinds of senses.
Well, it makes absolutely good sense. In fact, we functioned this way up until not too long before the time of Christ. A question comes to my mind, really a question, as God observes the universe, and he saw man narrowing down so far and leaving the word. You know, from the Ice Age and through the early pre-Christ time, if maybe his only son is from his love meeting us the only way we could receive, through the five senses, to have someone here, his only son, where we, before we completely destroyed ourselves, would be able to communicate with the will of God through Christ and maybe turn this around so that we began to come out again instead of continuing to narrow, to narrow, to narrow, and finally eliminate ourselves. This is a question that comes to my mind, and this is the ultimate love of God, to save his people from self-destruction. And it's a wondering that I have. There are knowings and there are wonderings. So the aura is rather interesting. I think you'll agree with that. Now here sits this marvelous, complex, scientific... I have a dear friend outside of Buffalo, New York, who is an astrophysicist. And I've known Bob and his family for a long time. And Bob is working with energy. They've realized in many of their studies that the energy as Einstein identified it, E equals MC, and in this country and around the world, working with energy. And his wife said, you know what Bob's been doing now? I said, I haven't any idea. Growing beans in the closet. I said, that's nice. Bob was on the other line. He's a quiet person. He chuckled. and said, yeah, they were good too. I said, okay, Bob, what are you up to? He had grown beans in the closet, letting in the rays from the sun, but not the light. And they have discovered that it is not the sunlight that allows things to grow, and it is not the sunlight that is the energy. It is the rays from the sun. And that it is the rays that will allow Anne to eat green beans. And last year he was talking to onions. Well, Jerry Baker's been doing that for years. What is it when you talk to a plant? What is it? It's the energy. Nan called a year ago and said, well, the onions I talk to are bigger. And Bob on the other end said, yeah, but you've got a lot to say, always. it's kind of fun, but he gave her the appropriate job of talking to the onions. And those with the energy from us did grow farther and larger. And that's kind of interesting. Well, he sent me this packet of highly scientific stuff from a conference he had been to. And this is here for everybody to try. In it was this experiment. And a couple had stood up here last week and said they were from Marilla, New York. I said, there are only four people in Marilla, New York, the Tallies and obviously these people. They live right behind the Tallies. So this couple, they were fascinated, and I shared this being Bob's very sophisticated, you know, government-oriented project here. And so we've shared back the results of this experiment last week. All this is a glass bottle. The hardest thing was finding an empty olive bottle. But we found one sitting, as it happened, right out on the counter in Chalet 3, where I live. We walked out the door, and there it was. Okay. It is a straw, a needle, and a piece of construction paper, which is balanced. And this thing is sitting on the end of this needle only. And that's all there is. And all of you are welcome to try this. It's been sort of the... Now, it's been sitting out in Chalet 3, and everybody comes by and has to try it. With the energy from your hands, and mine, I will say, I have a right hand that has gone through so much surgery that the energy, very often this will simply wobble. But can you see what's happening?
Oh, my word.
Oh, my. It's not heat. Now, I just breathed on it. Of course, that made it wobble. But I want you to come up and try this. When it's with one hand, we can't figure this out. I'm sure I have to call Bob. It should stop and come back. Now, it may not at this point, but it'll end up going back and forth with one hand. When both hands are removed, it will slow down and stop. At the end, and I'm going to try to end, you know, fairly early so there is time before lunch to experiment with this. But this is the energy from your body. This is the aura at work.
Have any of you people here been at Augustana for their Christmas concerts? Have you noticed they have a huge mobile in the altar area, and there are candles
yes.
and holders. And when the choir is in the balcony singing, that mobile starts slowly.
Right, that's heat.
Turning.
Right, that is heat. This
is such a huge thing, and
yeah.
it's only when the choir seems to be
and
singing.
And heat will rise, and eventually will turn a rather large body. But that is probably a heat conduction, primarily. Now, whether there's something...
The fire's in the balcony way at the back, and this is way at the front.
The candle.
No, it's in the balcony.
So that, and we have the Norwegian wind chimes and so forth.
Yeah.
This is not close enough to be heat. Of course, we have heat in our hands, too. But this does not generate the heat in that span of time to turn this. I want to just spend a couple of minutes, literally, because Emily is working in detail with dreams. I'm not going to go in too deeply to it. But I do want to read, first of all, I want to read, let's see if this comes before this comes in 5 minutes. Get my act together here. I want to read a couple of things about dreams. You have been taught that life on Earth is the real world, and that dreams are only fantasy. Actually, it's the other way around. The dream world is your real world, the spiritual level where the spiritual and meditation and prayer, I might add, in you lives. Earth is a testing ground, a place for getting experience, learning to understand how your mental ideas become physical reality. That's a pretty sharp statement, but it does say something about dreams. From the Talmud, a dream which is not understood is like a letter which is not opened. Dreams. Now that we've talked about auras, dreams are also very much a part of our being and help us to understand where we are. In the dream state, the conscious level slides away, allowing what is within us on a much deeper level to give us messages, to give us help, to answer questions, to rid ourselves of the days. Emily has other names for them. I call them garbage dreams, where you just, you know, if somebody says they don't dream, they would be insane. Because part of our sanity is getting rid of all the stuff that went on during that day. And it comes out in dreams. The colors, there are colors. Again, we are made up with energy. The dream state, again, this energy flowing through us in color and in form. I've been taking a group through a meditation series of the mandala. And what we're doing is going into meditation and allowing an issue in our lives to come up in terms of color and form, symbolically. And then we talk about it. That is a daydream, controlled situation. It is a meditation. And a dream is the same thing, simply a different way of looking at things, more information from deeper down. It does allow the Lord's word to work through, because it seems the Lord has an awful lot of trouble hitting us on the head. That's awfully hard. And the energy of the dreaming is very much like the aura. And again, we receive energies from all around. And there is, and you can read a lot about auras and the different, there is part of the aura that can reach out and see what's going on out here and pull in ideas and thinking that would be helpful to the being. When you wake up from a dream, there are two things. I keep a pencil and paper beside the bed. And I don't turn the light on, but as my eyes are closed, I write down keywords at least, or a phrase, or something that will help me recall a dream. Sometimes I get the solution in the dream, like, you dummy, I know you won't figure it out yourself, so here's the dream, here's the solution, I wake up and write it down. That saves me all kinds of trouble. Told in yesterday's class, the phone ringing. When this whole thing of the talk I gave yesterday was a knowing that appeared here. It had all been incubating, but I hadn't had time. When I got here, the first night here, at about 4 in the morning, the phone rang. Well, now you know what Holden the phone doesn't ring, right? In my dream, I knew I was at Holden and the phone didn't ring, and I thought, okay, I'll answer the thing. So I picked the phone up with which I woke up. But as I woke up, the whole process that I've been teaching this week was right there. And I had to quickly shift gears and teach in a different direction. Sometimes the messages are very important, and you will know if they are. Mm-hmm. To re-enter a dream, as Emily was saying yesterday, you don't open your eyes so that you keep the sense of the dream there. Or if you do open your eyes and you want to go back to it, one method is to picture yourself walking down a long staircase, and as you get to the bottom, you re-enter your dream. It's a method of just drawing your consciousness down to that level. If you tell yourself the night before that you're going to remember your dreams, and do this for several nights, you will remember what you're dreaming. We dream in symbols, which is what Emily is talking about. Many different kinds of symbology, but you will have a sense about what you're being told from within you. It is your dream, and you are receiving help. The aura is help, the dream is help, it's not something out there. We lock these things out because they aren't clearly explainable. Now, you can't write it down somewhere and say, well, this means this, always, and you know, have your life carefully controlled. It doesn't work that way. Let's see. There were a couple of other... you can ask at night that in your dream you think about a certain problem. You want an answer to a problem or a direction. Ask before you go to sleep for the direction. Two things can happen. You can mull it over in your dream state, not actually dream it, but wake up with direction. Your inner mind does not give up when you close your eyes. It goes to work. We call it incubating. You can incubate an idea. And let yourself work on it. You don't always have to be awake to be working very hard and to solve problems and to see which direction is best for whatever part of you. You need direction. Or just to bring peace. I want to feel at peace tomorrow morning. The day has been full of turmoil, and you want to wake up with a calm sense. Tell yourself that before you go to sleep. Your dreams may work on it, and you may easily wake up with the avenues open to you to be at peace. Now, there's a little bit more to the power of suggestion than the power of suggestion. We actually do work on it. But I think the whole thrust of this morning is there are parts of us working that we're not even aware of on our behalf. And it is part of a universal energy which is, in fact, the Lord working through us. And we've seen it working through us in color, in auras, and in dreams. And I want to read just the end of what I was reading before. As man advances and learns to listen to the still small voice, and as the world unfolds within his heart and manifests in his life, so will the tones of his voice grow more tender and loving and lose their power to wound. Thus will he become more able to comfort and cheer, lead and command, for he then expresses more of the creative power of the word, until at last the word is made flesh and manifests continually. This is the secret of the power of great speakers, for they express to a greater or lesser degree the creative power of the word, and literally create within the minds of their hearers that which they wish to impress upon them. The pronunciation of the word, is a question of manifesting its guidance in the life. For every discord in the life produces a false note in the voice. Strive, therefore, to be absolutely true to the word and be willing to face yourself and find and express truth in every tone and action. Thus will you learn to take your true place and express your true keynote in the grand symphony of life. I think that's a wonderful way of looking at it. We have so much to receive in the Lord's universe through these unexpected ways. And looking at color, as we have this week, through the inner eye. It is the inner eye with which we see. And I hope this has taken some of the mystique out of the aura, and maybe the scare out of the dream. These are parts of you, very definitely integral parts of you, which you use daily. Oh, I thank you, and if there are questions, and this wonderful little experiment begs to be tried. Yes.